and a happy Easter Monday indeed to you on this April the 21st in the year of our Lord 2014. And I'm sure if you attended Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday services, that was quite an experience. The highlight of the Christian year, Holy Week, particularly culminating in Easter. I had the opportunity to preach two sermons for Maundy Thursday at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet. Got to see a number of people there. I was a seminarian under Pastor Walter Hoffman for 4 years there at Emmanuel, so I learned an awful lot from him. And that congregation is still continuing the tradition of solid preaching and indeed great outreach into the community. They have a Chinese church there also, and was very glad to see them. Then on Good Friday, we attended St. Paul de Pere, where we are members, as well as Easter Sunday, and it was really quite a joy. Both services were quite unique, and of course Easter Sunday with the orchestra, the violins, the trumpets, the drums. Oh, it was just really kind of a taste of heaven. There's no doubt about that. It was just a wonderful sermon by Pastor Smith. Easter, indeed, the culmination. And we're going to continue with the Easter theme, because every Sunday is, in a sense, an Easter theme. In fact, we're getting ready for Issues Etc. this afternoon during the 3 o'clock hour, either at 3 or 3:15. I'll be finding out a little later, as we do the Sunday school lesson for the second Sunday of Easter. And then, of course, we're going to be right now taking a look at one of the Easter readings. Since the gospel is the Sunday school lesson, I decided to take a look at Acts chapter 2. And as with most of the Bible, we once more run into a real difficulty, because the apostles are refusing to obey the government. Wow. What are we, Quakers? Well, let's look at the situation. In Acts chapter 5, we're going to skip down to verse 40, the ruling individuals are not happy at all what the apostles are preaching about Jesus Christ. So they called for the apostles and beat them and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So here's the governmental authorities telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus. And this, of course, were the Pharisees also, who were rulers in Judah at this time. So it says, the disciples departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, it's up in verse 29 that we find the principle that they're talking about. When they are told no longer to say anything, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." And the Greek word there for obey is not the normal word for obey. It's actually to obey authority. So what they are saying is this. Remember, I keep telling you, translations are just terrible. Because to really get all the nuances, you need often three or four different words to get the right nuance from the Greek or the Hebrew. And so the way I would retranslate this is to say something along this line: we obey the authority of God rather than the authority of man. Now, of course, the first question that one comes up with is, when do you know which is which? And here the Lutheran confessions are extremely helpful. In the Augsburg Confession, Part 16, it is necessary for Christians to be obedient to their rulers and laws. The only exception is when they are commanded to sin. My wife was a registered nurse, and she was at a hospital that fortunately did not do abortions. It was a Roman Catholic hospital, St. Mary's. But had she been at another hospital like Barnes, where one of my elders was head of the emergency room, if an abortion was to take place, both my elder as the emergency room physician or my wife as a nurse could refuse to do so, and nothing would happen to them. Yeah, that's very good that in this, at that time, you could follow your religious conviction. Now with the new health care plan, we have a real problem coming, is because we're supposed to be supplying health care, including ways to do abortions, pay for them, for our employees. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod even went to Congress. The president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Matthew Harrison, spoke before Congress and indicated that, of course, this was not going to be tolerated by our church, where we were going to be paying for abortion of any employee if they were going to refuse to have a baby with which they were pregnant with. So this is really important to understand that the church and the Christian says no. Now, this really has to be dealt with the Supreme Court. I know Hobby Lobby is up there because they're refusing to pay for the abortion of their employees. And I really think it's important to recognize that this is a church-state item, that for years in the United States, you could follow your religious dictates and the government wouldn't impose on you against your conscience. But there seems to be a time coming when more and more of us as Christians will have to disobey the government and do so because of our conscience. Now, hopefully something will come about where there will be a resolution to this matter. But we are following specifically what is happening here in the Scripture. Namely, we obey God rather than men. As we, for example, teach and preach the message that Jesus Christ left for us. Yes, at times it could be difficult that people are going to say, oh no, you Christians, you're disobeying the government. Well, if the government causes us to sin, we're not going to apologize for that disobedience. Many, many Christians are dying today. There was just a report on the news over the weekend of Christians in various countries being attacked by radical Muslims, being put to death. And in one case, I think it was Nigeria, there's over 200 young women missing that were out of school, and they have been unable to find them after radical Muslims attacked the school. This is not something that we should be surprised at, because Jesus tells us, blessed are those who are persecuted. Did you see the reaction of the apostles when they were beaten for preaching Christ and him crucified? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were able to go through something, namely the suffering, because of their love of Jesus. And in that rejoicing, they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, that's faith. A faith that recognizes that Jesus will never leave them nor forsake them, but because of this world, which is sin-filled, we ought not be surprised of the persecution that will come. Frankly, I can't remember really being persecuted in any vicious way, or any way that I don't remember losing a job over. I mean, I lost jobs. I was fired from two or three of them. One of them I was fired from, I was picking peaches, and I had, a kind of a throwing game against the boss's son. He threw a peach at me and hit me, so I threw one back at him. And, of course, the boss only saw the one I threw. Got fired for that. But fortunately, I had a car and was driving people. And so one of the fathers of my friends convinced the boss to rehire me. The other time I was fired was I was in a bookbinding company, and they fired me. And I said, why am I being fired? And at that time, they said, well, you're not that good a worker. But in reality, they had run out of work to do. And so they just didn't want to pay me for doing nothing. But they had published as many books as they had to at the time, and I got fired for that. So neither of those were because I was preaching Christ and Him crucified. It's really easy to be a pastor in the United States of America, I believe. It's just a wonderful vocation to have that, because although there are occasions when churches are attacked, even in the United States, I know here in St. Louis, a robber had gone into a church in central St. Louis and robbed the people in the congregation. So it's not saying that these things aren't going to happen. I'm just saying, as I look at my life, I can't remember really being persecuted to a point where I was going to be in trouble. I do know when I was at the seminary and I refused to go along with the liberal thinking, two professors said they were going to stop me from becoming a pastor, but they never followed through on that. And so I was called into the pastorate just like all of the other students were. But it's been really easy to be a pastor in the United States. I'm not saying all pastors have that. Even the congregations I've been affiliated with, we've never, that I can recall, had huge theological arguments or even personality clashes that split the congregation. And that does occur. For example, if you go to the book of Revelation, there's seven churches there, and about the only one that's got its act together is the church at Philadelphia. All the rest have some real serious problem. And I've often thought that the reason I've had really easy churches to deal with is because maybe I just don't have sufficient faith to withstand real persecution. I just don't know. I mean, if you were told that if you did not deny Jesus Christ, these people were going to shoot your children, boy, oh boy. What are you going to do in a situation like that? But God gives the strength, and we have many examples of that, to obey God rather than men. Remember in the New Testament, one of the early individuals who disobeyed the government, or at least spoke against the government, he got his head cut off, John the Baptizer. And what was he speaking about? Was the leader at that time killing a lot of people? No. Was he stealing a lot of money? No. It was a marriage problem. He had married someone that he shouldn't have. And John the Baptizer spoke out against it. He was arrested. And then, of course, the woman who had participated in the legal marriage got her daughter to dance. And then she was promised anything, and she asked for the head of John the Baptizer. So there's a good example that not only do we obey man rather than God, obey God rather than man, but sometimes we even go to the point where we will speak out against the government. If you want to phone us here, numbers in St. Louis are 821-0850. Or 1-800-730-2727. And that is a long-distance toll-free number for anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. We're looking at Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 42, which normally would be the Old Testament reading, but obviously Acts is part of the New Testament. But during the season of Easter, the Old Testament reading is often made into the book of Acts, and what is happening in the early church. The epistle is from 1 Peter 1, and the gospel is from John chapter 20, where we're going to be talking about that on issues, etc., during the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon. I'm Tom Bacon. As I said, if you like to phone in, don't hesitate to do so at 1-800-721-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn my radio off. You caught me too quick. Hold on, let's take a second. There, now I got it off.
All righty.
No, the way I understand this story is that that Peter was the one in the right not breaking the law because the Romans had given them the right to preach in the courtyard outside the temple. So they were the ones actually breaking the law, the religious leaders, when they flogged them.
Well, you have to remember, though, that for Jews, the religious leaders were also part of the authority that they were to follow. They were following them in the ceremonial laws, etc. And they considered that Peter was doing blasphemy. It would be kind of like, President Obama doesn't tell me what I have to preach, but the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he has the right to say that, and he can even bring charges against me. So if he, as a authority in the church, tells me to preach biblically rather than false doctrine, don't I have to obey that?
Yeah, but what I mean was that, Peter, they were actually breaking the law, the religious leaders, when they flogged him for doing that. They were simply taking the law into their own hands when they... They had no right to do that to Peter in the first place.
Well, actually, they did. The Jews were allowed to put people in prison, flog them. They could not kill them. That's why they had to go to Pontius Pilate to get Jesus crucified. But they did have some stringent rules. And remember, they could whip someone 1-40 stripes. That happened also to the Apostle Paul. And that was all legal under Roman rule. Okie doke.
All right. Okay. See you later.
Thank you so much for calling. Mike's got a really good point that sometimes the government may be doing right and the religious leaders not. I'll give you a perfect example. Is it not the Quakers who refuse to fight in a war because they don't believe in that? But the government does properly have soldiers to defend this country, and oftentimes goes overseas to fight in a war. Anybody hear of the First World War, the Second World War? So there's another example where the government authorities, as Mike said, were doing something that was according to the will of God, but the religious leaders were not. Good point, Mike. I appreciate that. These distinctions are really hard to follow. Now, let me give you a tough one. If you go to Saudi Arabia, they do not allow you to bring Bibles in and distribute them. Now, I know there are some groups that try and sneak Bibles in and distribute them, but it's also true that a person found with a Bible, a regular citizen in Saudi Arabia, could be severely punished if not be put to death. And so should churches get, or Christians, get Bibles into Saudi Arabia against the law of that land? I always have mixed feelings on that one. I don't see any problem with a soldier having a Bible in his tent, but it's pretty clear that there would be big problems between the American government and the Saudi Arabian if they went outside the tent into the streets and began preaching Christ. Remember, the disciples do kick the dust off their feet on certain villages because they're refusing to hear the message. So I'm not going to really give an answer to that one. It's just a tough one. So it's not always, you know, sure, where do you obey God rather than men? In this case, by preaching Christ and teaching him, the only people who were going to be in trouble and persecuted would have been the apostles. But in giving Bibles in Saudi Arabia, you could be putting the life of others in danger. But somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute. How about their eternal life? Isn't that more important? So this is be a really good discussion to decide what to do and what not to do. It's kind of like, who do you vote for? I don't think you'll find anybody to vote for who is correct in every area of politics. I mean, I know people who are pro-abortion, but they are against gay marriage. and vice versa. So let's say you have a Democrat who's pro-abortion and against gay marriage, and you have a Republican who's pro-life but doesn't see a problem with gay marriage. Which one are you going to vote for? You see, it's really difficult. If you really examine the beliefs of most politicians, you're going to find something you're going to disagree with. And so what do? You do the best of possible worlds, or you don't vote at all. And I'm not going to say to somebody who is a member of my congregation, who by their conscience decided not to vote, that they're wrong. I'll make the point that, well, therefore, you know, you may be getting the worst of two situations. But it's not an easy thing to keep in mind obeying God rather than men. A lot of times, people think they have special visions from God or special messages. I mean, take a look at most of the false teachers on the radio and television these days. These are people who have messages that cannot be backed up by the Bible. And that's the most important thing. That's why we encourage you to listen to KFUO. Because on KFUO, we have a conviction that the things that we are to say are to be found in the Bible. You know how many times I've told you this. If I say something wrong, phone me up, ask me, where is that in the Bible? And if I can't find it, well, you need to turn the station, because I am now a false teacher. We're bound to the Bible. And we're bound in such a way that what we teach theologically, even though it may not be an exact quote from the Bible, needs to be found in the Bible. For example, the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You won't find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. But the word Trinity, divided up, means tri, three, unity, one, three and one. That's all we mean by the word Trinity. We would point out the Bible verses. How do we know there's three different individuals or persons? Well, take a look at the baptism of Jesus. All three of them appear there. God the Father in the voice, God the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and Jesus standing in the water. Three persons, one God. Does that explain? No. We are not to explain the Bible. We are to reveal the Bible. So we reveal the teachings of the Bible. That's why it's so important that you help support KFUO during the Share-a-thon coming up this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We will not be live on Thursday and Friday, Law and Gospel. Our last day will be Wednesday live, although we'll be part of the Share-a-thon. But on Tuesday, tomorrow, we're going to be with Pastor Mark Smith, talking about the hymn, O Sons and Daughters of the King. And on Wednesday, because we missed Pastor Reimnitz last Wednesday due to the fact it was Maundy Thursday and we weren't here, we're going to have him on this Wednesday. We haven't quite decided what topic we're going to be talking about, but boy, there have been a few things in the newspaper in regard to Easter that we might deal with, or he may have found something. We're going to be talking tonight on the phone about those items. Or you may come up with something. Our new email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And the and is spelled A-N-D. lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And you can even go to our website where we have products up, and a new membership site, that's at lawandgospel101.com. And you might want to join the membership site. For $10, you get four items every week. And one of them we just put up was a video of what I was speaking of earlier, President Matthew Harrison speaking before a congressional committee about the concerns we have with the new health care plan. And these are concerns that the church needs to be speaking out on, because he does a wonderful job of kind of repeating what we find in our Acts, that we must obey God rather than men. and he pleads that the government would not put us in a position where we are forced to break our consciences, because as he says, we're not going to be doing that. And so continue to listen to KFUO simply because this is the station that has a message that is in connection with God's holy word. And not only in connection, but it's an accurate summary of what the word is. And that's why we have open lines, so that if you question something, no problem at all. Just go ahead and phone us and ask us, where's that in the Bible? And by God's grace, we'll be able to show you. I'm Tom Baker. Well, Easter is not really over, as we move to the second Sunday of Easter coming up, and with the hymn tomorrow with Pastor Mark Smith. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.